With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, White Sox fans! Rep Palatini here, hosting the Sox Populi podcast number 171. It's been a while. I don't think we have a theme. This is probably the first one we've had in a while that didn't have some sort of theme, going all the way back to Soxivus. We haven't really talked much about the offseason, although every time we have a podcast, it seems like I'm quizzing all of my lucky guests about how many wins the White Sox will have or how much you want to not watch any White Sox games in 2024. And those answers may not actually change this podcast, but we may kick off this one with, I guess, a little bit of, I don't think you'd call it inside baseball, but certainly, White Sox media news. Pretty much, it seemed to me at least, when I ran across the news about our, I guess, sort of, at one time, sort of sister site Sox Machine, really taking a big step forward today with the addition of James Feagan as a beat writer, maybe even close to full time. Of course, anyone watching this is probably well aware of the fact that Sox Machine started up 20-odd years ago or so. For a while, took a pause as Jim Margulis came over to run Southside Sox for a time, even stretching longer than I have so far. I still haven't quite caught him. Don't know if I will. And then, of course, when I came along, went back and really put some extra muscle into Sox Machine. And that has really, really blossomed with today's news. And that is really no longer, if you would ever have considered Southside Sox and Sox Machine competitors, I guess you would to whatever degree, but I think today that is not necessarily the case any longer. I'm guessing the competitors, at least for that side, would be Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Tribune, because at this point, it is probably, at least in White Sox terms, and those are the only terms you measure that site under, that is probably the preeminent White Sox site to go to. And so first off, you know, cap tip there. Whenever this news happens, I want to be in the middle of it. I would have liked to be the person breaking news or being able to have some exciting development where Southside Sox was going to have a beat writer presence or take some major step forward with some sort of merger or prominence. So, of course, there's always a little bit of a bittersweet feeling when you have to look across the street and say, wow, that place over there, I'd really like to live there. But, you know, listen, credit due for a guy who's run a site not even, I don't think, really ever, certainly not for a sustained period of time in the Chicago area, not that that necessarily is a requirement, as some of us, maybe very close to this podcast, might know, outside of the Chicagoland area, leaving the site and then sort of coming back to it and really creating something that has become very, very powerful. A great voice. I would think it's not even arguably, but I'll say arguably, the two strongest daily voices on the White Sox going to be fueling that now. So really, to lead off with what is some significant news and really, you have to say sort of a, in a sense, a victory for all of us. It's pretty neat news. And I think it's befitting the top of this podcast. I have five wonderful, wonderful guests with me, including Crystal O'Keefe, Dante Jones, Brian O'Neill, Malachi Hayes, and Super Joseph Rhesus. So please let me throw it now to the field and you know, get maybe some additional reaction. Maybe I'm wrong about all this, so feel free to tell me.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, I think if you look at like the broad media landscape that this falls under, I mean, obviously, if you're going to say with The Athletic just got screwed by venture capital. Yeah. You look at the Tribune, just destroyed by all, I mean, by their previous owners, but then Alden just came in and does what Alden did. And yeah, I mean, this is a place like you would think 10, 20, even 10 years ago, where a guy like Fegan would be snapped up by the Times or the Tribune. But the media landscape has changed so much. And if you look at what's actually successful, I mean, I'm a big fan of Defector. I don't know if any of y'all read Defector. And like, that is a community. I mean, they own it. They run it. They're their own bosses. And with private equity and venture capital just coming in to, you know, suck the marrow out of legacy media, you look at what happened to Sports Illustrated. There are a couple signs that are pointing towards a better future. Like, the media doesn't have to be destroyed if it can be supported by people who actually want to support good media. So this actually makes sense, and it makes me slightly more optimistic about the future of media. I don't want to put too much on their backs here. I'm not saying they have to carry independent media into the media.
Go ahead, Brian. It's not us. Go ahead.
It's all them. Otherwise, the vultures win. But yeah, I mean, I think this just definitely shows that even though we're in really dark days in the media, that there actually might be a couple shoots of light.
Hey, I'm going to just jump in again. Let's not bury the lead here. Crystal, this hits close to home. You know, sort of decent news here, I guess, in the O'Keefe household.
Oh, well, yeah. My husband has done a lot of work with Sox Machine and is good friends with those guys. And I've become great friends with Josh. I feel like I'm kind of the bridge to all of the media sites. I feel like I've got somebody on every side. I mean, I have Scott Merkin telling me to hit him up for tickets for next season. Okay. And we talk about concerts and the DMs. So as the bridge, I mean, I'm happy for James, and I feel like we're still all in this together because we're still all miserable because this is so bad. So yeah, again, I'm like, if they've got the means to go about that and bring in James, then that's great. I'm happy for them. And I don't know. But they're not the bad guys. They're really good dudes over there. So I'm happy that James was able to land in a good spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Jim said, when he left Southside Sox, oh, those many years ago, more voices. You know, he was not wishing Southside Sox, I mean, I think that would be very good form anyhow, to like crumble. I mean, what he said and what has said been what has been said before him and what will be said after him by even folks like me or any of you is, you know, the more voices covering any of these things of common interest, the better. And getting James back into the mix, writing in a way that isn't some sort of one-off or weekend coverage at the Sun-Times, which is better than nothing, I mean, that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, it's the classic, like, the more people, like, the more places you can work, the more people, like, the more you can work, the more places you can work, the more we can all eat, and we should all be supporting each other in this landscape, as long as we're not being horrible people. And from what I've seen, they're pretty good people, so I'm good with them, you know, land at this spot. You know, that's a really big get. Great for them. Happy for them. As long as they produce great content, then we all win at the end of the day. That being said, we want more people too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, listen, hopefully, it's really going to be driven by the team. But, you know, obviously the coverage of the team snarky, celebratory, critical, can hopefully bring a few more eyes as well. And you know, listen, it needs to be repeated. I mean, this really is a ground up. This isn't a sideways thing. You know, even when you look at Chicago getting the access it did, great guys there as well. But I mean, that sort of didn't come in the same way Saxony did, which is really one guy writing whatever 20 years ago being built into this. I mean, it is a pretty extraordinary, I touch on what Brian said, sort of an extraordinary success story. And I'm probably totally out of my quote of graciousness at this point. So I'm going to shut down and just let everybody else weigh in on the pretty cool news. But, you know, or not. Whatever.
Yeah, one of the questions is, when does Major League Baseball catch up? Are the White Sox, and I don't know enough about other teams and how they handle alternative media, it feels like the White Sox might be behind, or is that normal? Is that our legacy ownership, and, you know, are they still mostly beholden to legacy media, or is that changing?
The White Sox are behind. They have partners, but in our context, let's say, and I think it's something we've discussed among us staff at Southside Sox, they throw on a term, accredited media. I don't know what it means. In the SB Nation universe, there are a number of other team sites that have the ability to cover games, have the ability that was just granted to Sox Racine, for example, or that we as the Sports Illustrated entity had in 2020. And others don't. Cubs don't. So, I mean, it's not as if this is some sort of weird, you know, just Chicago, you know, whatever thing. But yeah, the White Sox are a little sticky. There's probably worse. But in a landscape where you would think, well, I mean, if anybody gets up to Rest Row, you can look to the left, look to the right, and realize there's room. It's not a matter of there not being room. So, yeah, they take a peculiar take, which again makes this somewhat surprising. Obviously, James Fegan is sort of the bridge to being for Sox Machine to be on the beat there, and I guess also expressing at least some semi-commitment to covering road, which can be, you know, an issue too. You know, beat writer just covering at home sort of isn't necessarily, you know, a true beat writer. But yeah, they're still a little sticky, and it's odd. And you know, maybe this breaks down a couple other walls where there's just a little bit more open access. That's probably too big a hope, but I mean, or wouldn't have expected this.
Media on this, so might as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on, don't blow it, Sox Machine. Come on.
Yeah, I'm absolutely. I mean, it's. I'll weigh in a little bit, and I'll just. Say it's, yeah, it's definitely a positive development. I'm very happy for James and all the folks over at Sox Machine. That's definitely great news. And I feel like there was a lot of unification across White Sox Twitter when the layoffs at the Athletic happened earlier this year. And James was unfortunately part of that, and rightfully so. And, you know, it's really one of the areas that White Sox fans found, I feel like, to bond over this past year was, you know, with regards to, like, nobody liked when that happened. Yeah. And it's very great to see him have this new opportunity over there.
Yeah. Yeah, to see the good guys, you know, maybe get a win, you know, again, I would have loved the good guys, you know, to be us. I would still love that. But I mean, to see talent rewarded. I mean, the idea, again, I think that Brian may have noted that James as a writer wasn't, and we don't, obviously we don't know what the situation was, but that he's not just transferred somewhere within the Athletic, given the demonstrable talent he has. It's just, it does make you scratch your head. And to what Joe said, I mean, that allowed it to be pretty much 100% just universal outrage, you know, even despondency when in the context of the media view of just, you know, how can this happen? You know, good people are supposed to keep getting to do the good work they're doing, especially when, like, the New York Times is, you know, it just, it really doesn't add up a whole lot. So to see this really sort of surprise twist, certainly to me a surprise. I don't know what all the rumblings were, but it's heartening, you know, and plenty of time. You know, it's not a midseason thing or something where it's like, oh, you know, you spend the whole season, it's a lost season because you're just scrambling to get everything thrown together. You know, knowing Jim, this has been sort of methodically plotted. So, you know, probably from opening day forward, it's, you know, it's going to be every bit what you'd expect from traditional media. And I'm going to guess a fair bit more because traditional media is sort of what landed us in this problem in the first place. So, you know, really is sort of going to be a one of the go-to sources for Sox information. And listen, hopefully, you know, they can maybe lift, you know, raise us all. I don't know what the phrasing is, but yeah, that wouldn't be a bad thing either. And who knows? There are many capable hands out there, Chicago White Sox. But great to see them sort of break the tape and get in there. Malachi, any thoughts? Not going to shove a mic in your face, but any thoughts on this?
You know, I think everyone said it pretty well already. I'm happy that I'll get to read him again on a regular basis. You know, that was a travesty what happened over the at the Athletic and their new evil overlords. So yeah, no, it's just good to have him back in the ecosystem a little bit. You know, it's a better place with his coverage in it. So that's what I'm here for.
All right. We could go on for hours or just another 15-minute segment about Sox Machine. That is 15 minutes more than we've probably ever spoken on Sox Machine. So thanks for the good initiative. Jim, Josh, James, good trio over there. Obviously, if you're listening to us, chances are you at least stop by Sox Machine. It's not a bad place to be. We'll take a break and then talk, I guess, a little bit about, I don't know, actual baseball developments. If there's something to talk about, I guess there is. We'll take a break, back in a minute, and we'll talk more about stuff.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hey, White Sox fans, my name is Brett Ballantini. I have five of my very favorite people in the entire world and close to favorite house pet, at least one. Willow so far has been behaving, but I think that might be because Crystal's really good with the cough button there. But we'll see. She may still decide to make herself heard before this podcast is out. All right, we spent the first half talking about some sort of exciting, as Brian said, optimistic. Maybe even, wow, that's, I don't even know if I can wear that shirt, but yeah, maybe optimistic news about like baseball, sports, White Sox coverage, pretty cool stuff over there at Sox Machine. But the reason ostensibly we're going to be talking in this podcast wasn't about some other baseball site, it's going to be about the Chicago White Sox and some of the things they've been doing. Busy, busy Saturday, I believe, for Chris Getz. It seems like the offseason theme has been perhaps to the detriment of offense, to the detriment of maybe even pitching, has been defense. And I followed through with that and acquiring Don Fletcher in sort of a little bit of an odd trade with Arizona, and then picking up sort of a interesting variety pack from Seattle in exchange for Gregory Santos, one of the few players we really sort of thought we knew we could count on, and I guess the de facto closer for the season. So now that position's been thrown up into the air. Reactions to, I guess, a very busy weekend for Chris Getz, and maybe even whether this is giving you more of an optimistic feeling, pessimistic feeling, or maybe just doesn't really change anything about how you feel because it's just sort of shuffling chairs on a ship that's already underwater. Thoughts, folks?
Yeah, personally, I think, like you said, it's just shuffling chairs because, like, I'm as somebody that loved Gregory Santos when he was here. I was at first sad to see him go, and then took a few minutes to think about it. I was like, okay, I understand. Also, he should get a chance to shine on a team that, like, is it going to be at least closer to the playoffs than we are? Because I don't know if anybody else looked at the Picota standings. So Picota, I don't know how to pronounce things.
Yeah, I was going to say, technically, Dante, that's 29 other teams. But the spirit of what you said is acceptable. Yeah.
28. They got, 27. They got, I think, two teams worse than us. All right. I mean, do we really count the Oakland A's? Probably not. But, you know, no. that's supposed to count. Yeah, at least they went and decided, let's try to get a right fielder. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. You know, the attempts were made. It will make my season 0.25% less annoying, hopefully. We'll see. I doubt it because it's the White Sox and they find ways to make all of us mad. But at least there's an attempt made.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to see, I guess, you know, picking at silver linings that, you know, Brian Bannister, kind of based on the profile of pitchers that are being brought in through various means via trade, minor league signings, whatever, he seems to be empowered to, you know, have a voice in player personnel and who gets brought on board in a way that, you know, as much as Ethan Katz was supposed to be kind of with the new age stuff, he clearly, while he, you know, was supposedly instrumental in, say, Mike Clevenger signing here, amongst other things, he also clearly didn't quite have wasn't quite, you know, empowered to run things in a modern fashion. So, you know, Pralander Barroa is a very interesting young pitcher who's really not super dissimilar to what Gregory Santos was 12 months ago when they brought him on board. So, you know, these are, you know, it's assuming this is where we're going to be for the foreseeable future, and having foreclosed any like big good news happening, it's like, hey, there's news. We can talk about it at least. So, you know, I'm happy for the scraps at this point.
We had a reason to get together. Great to see you, Malik. You had a reason to get together.
I think the difference in standings, if Santos was the closer or if I was, is
don't sell yourself short, Brian.
You're going to finish last. Barring some catastrophe for the other teams, but you know, it doesn't matter right now. Having a good closer is not at all important to the White Sox at this point. I think, Malik, I said, you know, yeah, if Barroa turns out to be Gregory Santos, that's great. But I mean, I'm really interested that they actually picked up a draft pick. That is not something that they are known to do. And I know one draft pick in baseball doesn't really matter. I'm not even a big baseball draft guy just because it's such a crapshoot, but it's a different approach. And there are little glimmers, Malik, I hinted at that, you know, Bannister and Rutherford have different ways of doing things. I don't know how much of it is Getz and how much he's listening to the more experienced or smarter people around him, but I appreciate that it seems like they're taking a different approach. They're still playing with the nicety of we're not rebuilding, we're retooling. But I think the people behind the scenes know that that's the most polite fiction possible, and they're not actually at all playing that game with the trades they're making. So this is not like going to be a difference maker of a trade, but it also shows that they are not trying to just stay in place either.
Scott Merkin is not a White Sox employee, although obviously he has a strange sort of bridge. He has a strange role, and I'm sure most readers or listeners would say, oh, yeah, you know, sure he is. He just, you know, spouts a line. But I thought it was funny. I don't really recall who clipped the piece, but there was a paragraph in his write-up of one of the trades where he used the word rebuild like 12 times. So, yeah, I mean, whether or not they're officially saying it behind the podium, well, the folks really, really close to the podium certainly are. And, of course, you know, we've known this all along. We probably knew like a year ago that there was somehow like a rebuild coming, or we were in it already based on the moves made or not made by Rick Hahn. So, yeah, it may be a verboten word, but it's pretty much between the line of every single press release and now even you know, the actual MLB.com writer for the White Sox. So other thoughts from the rest of you on these moves? Anything inspiring about it?
So I am not inspired by any of it.
All right.
I'm still kind of in that same boat. Although I will be in Seattle in May to see the Mariners. But also I am going to see the A's play twice, and that's sad because might even be better than the White Sox this year.
It's not a foregone conclusion they won't be, that's for sure.
No. So
if you had to bet on a system, you might bet on Oakland over the Sox. But hey, they might not be going. Boy, there's a lot of strange breaking news here about the Las Vegas mayor. I guess you can't really turn the truck around. You can't turn the Titanic around at this point, but I don't know. The golf clap that has welcomed the Las Vegas A's is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I mean, the port that the Titanic is headed to just said, can you not, like... Right. So, you know, they're departing.
They could just be playing on one of those plastic islands floating in the Pacific or whatever. Yeah.
They're going to be on that door, and Rose is not going to let them in. They're all going to die in the ocean.
Lame duck. Lame duck baseball franchise. Wow.
I will say, I'm not really inspired either by the trades, but I do think that they are both very slightly better than doing nothing, which is pleasant to see because, you know, a lot of times I haven't been able to say that lately about White Sox moves. Yeah, Pralander Barroa is an interesting prospect, and I think he will definitely give them some quality innings this year, and obviously they need that very badly. And the other prospect coming along in that trade, Zach Deloach, yeah, he showed some power in AAA this past year and was also able to have a high on-base percentage. So, like, they don't really have much depth in the outfield. I mean, obviously there's Luis Robert Jr. who's a star player, but I mean, they really trail off quickly after him as far as outfielders are concerned. So, I mean, will Deloach be a decent outfielder long-term in the majors? Probably not, but it's worth a try. And, you know, Santos was of course a great reliever for them this past year, but I mean, relievers are pretty volatile year to year. And that was really his first like really successful season at the major league level. So, I mean, I don't mind them flipping him when they did. And yeah, ultimately I think it's a slight positive.
It's not a super hot take because I think it's a typical take, but it's like, well, you know, those are like Pacific Coast League inflated numbers or whatever. And I get it. Those numbers are sort of somewhat mind boggling. Okay. I get it. They're been inflated, but it's like, we're the White Sox. We're really going to be picky about that. The guy hits 25 or whatever home, you know, bring him to town, please. Like, we're going to be picky about it. One thing that strikes me about these Getz deals, and I believe me, I think you're all aware of this, even maybe a few of you listeners out there, that I'm certainly not inclined to be, let's say, pro Chris Getz. But given the fact that one of our significant criticisms, I think I can say our significant criticisms of this move is sham process of hiring the GM, basically a Rick Hahn yes man getting the new job instead of being cleared out. There's certainly no clearing the deck here. Getz just sort of ascends, even though, you know, the company he worked for was going under, he still got the gig. Okay. But it does seem to me in a couple ways these trades sort of signaling at least a little bit of difference. You know, Rick Hahn, you know, Gregory Santos is not, you know, equivalent, let's say, to Aaron Bummer, but Rick Hahn was more inclined to try to extend Aaron Bummer on the cheap, but extend him, which, good or bad move, that's the move he made. Getz maybe saying, hey, I might try to sell high on a guy, given that bullpen arms can be volatile. Rick Hahn, we know, he has done this. He's going to grab, you know, an Adam Eaton, thinking he's going to grab some sort of weird lightning in a bottle with him in Rife. He's going to jump the market to bring in a guy like that, or maybe even a redacted. The idea that Getz is, again, good or bad, it definitely taking a little bit of a different approach. Maybe trying to bet on, or, you know, this can be Barfield's influence, bet on a guy like Fletcher to maybe really blossom. I think a little bit of what Malachi hammers in a number of podcasts is this team at some point, whether they're at the height of their playoffs, that brief time, or in the throes of another rebuild, They got to start rolling the dice on guys, you know, like maybe a Fletcher Deloach, you know, whoever, who are really going to end up paying off big. And it's not to say that, you know, these roles are going to really pay off big, but Adam Eaton was never going to pay off big. Lip service to signing big name guys and then not getting them isn't really going to turn out anything big. So I am maybe crediting in a very backhanded kind of way that Getz is doing it a little differently. I'm not getting excited about it, but it is different. And I'm not sure we were inclined to expect that.
Yeah, he's approaching it like a farm director, which is, you know, you can agree or disagree with the moves themselves or be mad that they're in this position where these are the moves they're making. But no, he's approaching it with the look of somebody who seems to have a philosophy. And even if that philosophy is, did they play for the Kansas City Royals or San Francisco Giants, I suppose it's still better than having no philosophy. And just to your point about the Deloach and the Pacific Coast League a moment ago, Deloach had a WRC plus weighted runs created plus of 111 for AAA. I think it's Tacoma down there. So that's normalized by league, and the White Sox, Charlotte Knights did not have a player above 100.
Okay, good. Then my hunch wasn't totally idiotic. Thank you, Malachi. I love just hearing that. Just once time a podcast, and I'm not a complete idiot. The rest of the podcast, it's fine, but one time, thank you. Good point. You sort of cut me down there. The whole get Royals, that is sort of undermining this momentum I'm trying to build for Chris Getz, but noted.
I mean, I agree with though. They're doing something, which is, I mean, I think Joe said, you know, they're doing a little bit more than nothing, which is not an inspiring slogan. It's not quite everything, but it's better than, we're doing nothing. That's been a slogan for the last couple of years. So I don't know. Maybe I don't want to try to get ahead of things, but I don't know. There's part of me that's like, what if Getz is secretly smart? What if he's actually just been, I know, maybe not, but at least they're, all right, fine, Crystal, never mind.
Yeah. But I mean, just the fact that they're willing to eat the cost of having to destroy all those pocket schedules that said White Sox Baseball 2024, we're doing nothing, and changing them to White Sox Baseball 2024, we're doing something. Hey, man, you don't expect Reinsdorf to do that. So
don't do it.
Don't do it. Don't get excited. Don't get even slightly.
Don't believe in this team.
It's been poisoned.
Like, not believing in it, but maybe not totally not believing.
Okay. It's one of those, at least they've attempted. And even if the attempt goes wrong, it's better than the usual do absolutely nothing or do way too much in some cases and like overcorrect things that didn't need that much correction, like the Super Bullpen of 2022.
That's a great
idea. Yeah, I just am excited to use that Bart Simpson meme where he's throwing the cake into the trash. The at least you tried.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
And Crystal, I don't want to lobby you here, but given the fact that the old way of doing things, I get it. And Malachi already put in perspective, go get Royals. I've already changed my thought of what I said, just, you know, like not clever enough to go back and edit it, but I've already changed my feeling. But I mean, let's face it, if this was a Han team, we'd already have redacted on the team. Okay, so we have a 4A pitcher in his place, but that's better. We'd have Eaton on the team. Don Fletcher. Okay, that's better. So, I mean, yeah, this is a really trivial type of stuff to be excited about. But we could be really sort of, we still are angry, but angrier?
It's either, you know, bargain bin hunting or, again, just going for every person that has been associated with the Royals. So it's really equal because the Royals are trash as well. Yeah. So it's just, my confidence is not.
Yes, yeah. It's like polished turd versus regular turd.
Yeah. Exactly.
Both of them are still the same thing.
I mean, Crystal, I haven't changed my 107 losses. So, I mean, I haven't totally lost my head here. I'm just, you know, looking for talking points, like the excellent podcast host I am. And, you know, maybe failing.
I mean, is this better overall than if they were like, we're going to spend $80 million on somebody who was good in 2013. Like, they're not doing the normal thing.
Yeah, we could have got Ben Tendi again. You know what I mean?
Again, all right, I'm throwing things out there. Like, it feels like they're not trying to make the big splashy move that's not actually splashy, but that they can sell as being like, look what we did. Now we've got another Alomar.
I like that they fail at the splashy move so often. Now they just, it's a victory that they don't even try to make the splashy move. But Brian, you're speaking the truth.
That is what dumb teams do when they're trying to just send out a press release. It's actually been kind of optimistic that they're not just doing press releases. Actually, I don't know. I don't trust Getz, but I like Bannister and Barber.
Well, Redacted hasn't signed yet, so let's just be careful. That splash could be out there.
Personally, I would rather Redacted get sent to the Sun, but you know, I think we all feel that way.
He was playing like the prison team baseball.
Oh, he's getting there. Don't worry. He'll be there before his career's over.
Don't send him to Japan. Just send him to prison.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I don't know what happened there. Well, we were at the end of the day, but
I broke up. So okay. I was just saying, at the end of the day, it's not the Adam Dunn signing where like he instantly gets appendicitis and it all goes horribly wrong very quickly.
Yeah.
So, you know, things happen. Also, now that I've thought about it, I'm so shocked that Adam Dunn wasn't the guy that was able to coax them out of $100 million. Like, I thought he would be the one.
He made it to negotiate very well. He probably could have, but he probably just like, yep, I want to come. You know, he's sort of a good old boy. So, you know, he just took the first offer. I don't know. He didn't seem like a big holdout guy. He also thought he could hit the scoreboard with a home run. So, like, or the big, whatever, the Jumbotron, which, you know, I don't know, 600 feet away or whatever it is. But, you know. I gotta look into what Papa Jones is doing there. He might be messing with your Wi-Fi connection there. Once he starts hearing, and we haven't talked any trash about the Cubs, so I mean, you know,
come on. Hey, Pops. That is funny. They just walked in a little while ago. Also, for a record, I have the scoreboard on my hat today.
Oh, all right. So yeah. That was the scoreboard he thought he could hit.
Yeah, and the fact they thought he could hit that showed that he might be closer to dumb as bricks than I thought he was.
Played a lot of football in Texas. Ah, hey, Super Bowl. Let's get excited about that. I'm not going to diss football. Okay, so, all right. A quick speed round then, and I'll start with Crystal because I guess I know the answer. More optimistic, same, or even more pessimistic than you were last time we talked?
I feel the exact same.
Exact same. I have a feeling that's going to be just a cut and paste, basically, until our season-ending podcast. So, all right. Hopefully it doesn't get worse for you, Crystal, because I know your biorhythms with the White Sox are extremely low as it is. Dante, any more inspiration for you?
Absolutely bleeping not.
Okay. We might run the table here. Brian, are you feeling any better?
I'm going to be the Candide here, who I understand was Voltaire's fool. But we actually, Dom Fletcher, we might have a right fielder. And being optimistic about finally having one of the nine positions in baseball after, 35 years without it, it feels like a lifetime without it, is a very, very small victory. But there's a person who can play baseball in right field.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. It's not really fantastic, but... Small steps.
Brian, we remain White Sox fans. We are all Voltaire's fools, so don't get yourself there. That's six of us on screen right here.
That's another slogan for the calendar.
Yes. That's a freebie for you. Once again, White Sox, feel free to use it for the pocket schedule. Malachi, feeling any better?
I mean, yeah, I'm feeling a little bit better in the same way that, like, there was once upon a time I was looking forward to getting to see, like, Ryan Cordell and Charlie Tilson just because they weren't Melky Cabrera, you know? I mean, yeah. Zach DeLoach is not Gavin Sheets, nor is Dominic Fletcher. So, you know, new faces, even though they may bring us the same fortunes, are, you know, better to be fresh and bad than stale and bad. Mm-hmm. So,
and clip and save, because a year ago, in the case of both Malachi and Brian, when it came time to predict, now granted, the team is vastly, well, maybe not that vastly different, but certainly vastly different than what we thought it would be going into last season. And both of them, among maybe a couple others, said, you know what, I want the team to do well. The positive outlier is that, you know, this could have been a this could have been a 90 win team and a team that competes for the playoffs. So if there were two people on this panel who I'd say might be feeling, even if it's couched and all very relative, the way Malachi just very well explained, it's going to be probably Brian and Malachi, because it's like, yeah, we are following this team. We would like to see something good happen, which is why we probably let off this podcast with, hey, one of us gets to cover the goddamn team now. You know, we would just like a little bit more, and maybe some of it occasionally has a smile instead of straight face, or most likely cussing or frowning. So, you know, I'm waiting to see if either one of you decide to go over 500, but I don't think you're going to lose your head to that degree.
Look, I derive joy out of watching the White Sox play baseball at a base level, and any joy that is dependent on them winning baseball games, I am making sure that's fulfilled elsewhere, because you know you might have issues if that's not the case. But
Malachi Hayes with
165. I don't know.
All right,
on the high side, I'll probably be on the high side.
Malachi Hayes with replacement level expectations, and you know, if that isn't going to be on all, that ain't going to be on all of our White Sox fandom tombstones, I don't know what is, because we've all lived through this. Some of you younger than me having a bigger portion, a bigger percentage of your fandom stuck in this quicksand that is, I don't even know, let's wait till next year, because I don't know if we ever end up having that hope at the end of the season. I'm not sure.
Hey, wait. We do not say wait until next year. This is the South, right?
Oh, no, trust me, I'm not playing that game, but
I just got to make sure.
That's fine.
I'm a Cubs dad, but I got to say it every time I hear
it. Yeah, I understand why the alarms would go off in your head. Dante, we are not lovable, even if at the moment we are losers.
I'm kind of just cursing my husband for signing me up for this.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, fair.
I could have just given up on baseball entirely.
Yeah. Well, just make sure you use it. As long as it still hurts, you know, make sure you just get something out of the pain that he has inflicted on you by putting you in this position. But
he did say he was going to get back into baseball this year, and I was like, well, I don't know what team you're going to be rooting for, because it's bad.
Somewhere outside of Chicago, but yeah, you know, he got the trip coming up, so that's not like you're going to become Oakland A's fans, because that's, let's face it, the merchandise is going to get stale, but, you know, hey. That's enjoying baseball, but at this point is sort of what you got to do, because it's pretty hard to enjoy the White Sox.
There can be no pain without love.
No.
White Sox 2024.
The Sox are playing on my birthday, but it's they're playing against the Astros. So I was like, well, I don't want to go watch that blowout. And the Mets are just going to be in town a couple days later at Wrigley. So it got to the point where I was like, maybe I just go watch the Mets instead and enjoy my birthday. Yeah.
This is what you've done to us, White Sox. And we give you free pocket schedule slogans. Okay, Joe Reeses, are you going to make it three in a row? Are you feeling a little better or pretty much about the same?
I'm feeling a little bit better. Granted, that's with a major caveat that the new Pecota projections that just came out, where the White Sox, according to it, have a 0.0% chance of making the playoffs. I don't think that's that far off.
That's not good, Joe, right? I'm not a stats guy. That's not good, right? I mean, that's sort of bad, right?
Yeah, I'd give him a 1% chance, I think, in a league where 40% of the teams make the playoffs. I do feel a little bit better. So as far as the right field issues that they've had, they had one fluky good year with Avisail Garcia in 2017. Before that, I think you'd have to go back to Jermaine Dye for the last time they had an above average season from a right fielder. Mm-hmm. And yeah, not even COVID, in the fluky sort of COVID year, did they have an above average right fielder, because that was Nomar Mazara, who was just not good for them. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see them actually making a serious attempt to address that position with sort of the limited resources that they have available. And I think they're gradually trending in the right direction, although they still, of course, have a really, really long way to go.
Joe Reese is much closer to Las Vegas than he used to be. He's going to go. He's going to motor there and plunk down one of them silver dollars on the White Sox. Chances of making the playoffs, and he's going to be rich. He's going to buy Southside Sox, and he's going to get us on the press row. This is all going to happen in 1 year. I'm just giving away the predictions. It's not in the prediction podcast yet. And also, by the way, Joe, Rick Hahn will be in touch with you directly to scold you for your Adam Eaton erasure. However, point still stands. I'm the last person to defend Adam Eaton, and look, I just defended Adam Eaton. This is what this team has done to me. It has battered me into defending Adam Eaton. Well, I don't know when we're all going to get together again. We will have, I'm sure, some sort of trivial reason to get together. I don't know what it'll be. We do have our predictions podcast coming up, but that's like a month or two. We'll probably do a podcast for the White Sox Hall of Fame. We're not quite doing that yet. I want to have the prospect voting wind down. Once that's done, it's coming soon. Once that's done, I don't have too many votes competing, so we'll do a White Sox Hall of Fame. Some of you might even be your first chances at voting at a thing. We pretty much sort of took a year off of that, but we'll try and trot out some fun sorts of things to do. And it's worth reminding in context with how we let off this podcast and how great some other White Sox site is. And listen, again, kudos to them for really breaking that, glass press box, whatever it is, to get in there and do some coverage, and let's hope it works out. It does seem like it's certainly not a foregone conclusion. Not even a foregone conclusion the White Sox won't end up going back on their word. And James shows up opening day. They're like, where do you think you're going? Who knows what's going to happen, in the snowstorm or whatever it's going to be on March 28th. But it is worth noting that this really is a site that we've tried to put out there with a diversity of voices, a lot of different perspectives, hopefully stuff that will entertain. Try to have fun. It's been pretty hard, but we seem to still laugh through some of these tears, as evidence even in this podcast, certainly the second half, where we actually have to talk about the Chicago White Sox. We're going to continue to do that. There's a lot of other places you can go and enjoy White Sox information. I hope this one at Southside Sox is one you always consider to be unique and familiar, maybe even familial. That's been the goal of me, and I think all of us here, speaking of those who are not even on this podcast and who have come and gone even from the site, there's definitely a long list of names there as well. And I can promise you we're going to continue to do that. And even if we're not able to press our faces up against the window of actual coverage, hopefully you will still find what we're doing entertaining and worth tuning in on. You've done it. With me here now for, I don't know, was it 6, 7, 8 years? I don't even know how long it's been. Too long, you could argue. And certainly for many of my colleagues here, a number of years. And, we're going to keep producing that for you and hopefully just somehow have fun through this season. So that's one thing you're always going to be able to depend on Southside Sox for. We're going to continue to try to generate that for you. When new ideas come up and, creative aspects of coverage or opinion, we're going to try to provide it. I don't know if anybody wants to follow up on any of that, but it doesn't have to be a parting note, but feel free to jump in as I say thank you to Willow O'Keefe, Crystal O'Keefe, very smart on the cough button there. I should say the bark button. Dante Jones, taking a very, very, very short road trip tonight and successfully doing so. Brian O'Neill, our bar, just one single Voltaire reference tonight. Listen, this is off season. He's getting into his regular season shape as well. Malachi Hayes, he's doing stuff. He's moving up the masthead. He's going to be doing more guidance of our site this year as well, in addition to the writing that you're used to seeing from him. Super Joseph Rezus taking a little bit bigger bite of the whole prospects world and a little bit more of the minor league world. Oh, maybe we'll just keep that under wraps for now, but Super Joe stepping up big for us in terms of that, something he's been doing with us since we've been together, Joe, and I've always appreciated that, and I appreciate you being able to step in and come through for us in this coming season, as the minors are probably going to be far more interesting than, let's face it, the major league team is going to sort of be a minor league team too anyhow. But hey, just 10 days. What is it? 2 weeks, 10 days till pitchers and catchers report. So it's coming. Whether we try as hard as we can to lock the door, but it's going to come busting through the front door here very shortly. Crystal, Dante, Brian, Willow, Malachi, Joe, thank you for being with me. We'll have another podcast sometime soon. Thanks for being with us, everybody. And let's celebrate the victory for the White Sox blog world that we've gotten today. And we'll continue to provide you some really terrific coverage on our own end. And we'll try to do the best we can for you in that endeavor. And we will catch you for podcast, 172, before opening day, sometime between now and opening day.